That's music there from Gay McKeown, and Gay has recently taken up the position of Cathaoirleach of na Pibre Éileann, and he joins us in studio tonight. You're welcome to the programme, first of all.
Good evening, Anya.
Before we get into the whole area of na Pibre Éileann and what is going to happen in the future, or what you hope is going to happen in the future, is this a job that you took on lightly? Because I'd imagine it carries a fair amount of responsibility with it.
Yeah, I was honoured to be asked to be chairman, particularly, you know, when we've had the my predecessors being Brendan Brannock, Sean, Neil Mulligan and Sean Potts, all of whom have great integrity and a great love of the music and promoted the pipes, and all of them in their own way contributed hugely to where we are today. So I must say I prefer being a piper than an administrator, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I suppose it's one of those things that it's a job that somebody has to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, there's a great committee there, all pipers, and they're all very committed and great staff. And, you know, we have a lot of projects, so we just deal with what we have, you know, serve the members. And if we do that well, you know, and have a bit of fun and plenty of piping.
I suppose it's fair to say that the Pibre Éileann and the state of Éileann piping generally, not just here in Ireland, but worldwide, I suppose, is very different to what it was, say, when the Pibre Éileann was set up.
Oh, yeah, like in 1968, when the Pibre Éileann was founded, like I would say probably if there was a couple of hundred practicing pipers in the world. And remarkably, there was a high percentage of exceptional players like Seamus Ennis, Willie Clancy, Leo Rosen, Tommy Reck, to name but a few. And then you have younger players like Paddy Maloney, Liam Flynn and Paddy Keenan. And there was a remarkable talent there. And like when I was a young fella in 68, listening to these, I thought that they were going to be there forever. And now there's thousands of pipers in Ireland, never mind around the world, and the interest has never been greater, and the man, you know the quality of playing is excellent, but sometimes I wonder, is it really as good as it was then? So that's what in the Pibre Éileann, what we have to do is really make sure that we teach kids, particularly children in particular, and provide really good tuition, you know. But the world of piping has changed, definitely. Yeah.
Would you be able to put your finger on why? I mean, obviously the Pibre Éileann themselves have quite a bit an amount of credit to take for that, but there must be other factors as well.
Sure, I think it's down to the instruments themselves. It's a haunting sort of a sound, and once it gets into your blood, it's like you know, you just takes you over. And I think anybody who plays the pipes has that experience. You can't just leave them. And I think primarily, and people heard the likes of the Bobby Band, Planksty, Clotharry Cool, and Moving Hearts, the featured pipers and great pipers, and all those bands who really added something and to the you know, the quality of those bands. And I think people were just taken by the sound of the instrument and being attracted to them. And that certainly would. Also, the advent of the Willie Clancy Summer School and other schools like that, and their quality teaching has really helped, attract people to playing.
There's no doubt. I mean, it's not an easy instrument to play, and it's not a cheap instrument to buy. So it's a major decision for somebody who has a 10 or a 12 year old child who suddenly says they want to start playing the instrument.
Yeah, but it's not the easiest instrument. But I think if you go about in a fairly logical way and get a good teacher, but there's a lot of pipe makers now are making fairly inexpensive practice sets out of alternative materials, not using things typically people use, boxwood or African blackwood or something like that. And there's a few people in the around the world now making sets of plastic and synthetic products, which get people going, and they're excellent quality. So there are alternatives, they're a little bit lower cost, and there's plenty of tuition videos, DVDs online, and tuition on the web and that kind of thing. So it's there's plenty of opportunity.
What about the I mean, I know that na Pibre Éileann over the years have had various different schemes in relation to lending pipes to children who may be interested in starting to play.
Yeah, that's something we feel really strongly about. One of our main focuses is encouraging children to play, and we've classes in Henrietta Street and on Tuesday nights, and we have a pipes and loan scheme which has been really we've been really helped by the Arts Council, and indeed a lot of our own members donate sets of pipes, and we in turn loan those out to people to get started. At the moment all our sets are out, and But we're looking to put more pipes into the scheme. So that's a very, very important. Some of the finest pipers around today have learned to have started by getting pipes in the pipes.
And what sort of a time scale would there be on that? I mean, how long would it be before they would have to sort of commit themselves and
Well, what we do is we loan them out for 6 months and then they review it, and if they want to extend it for another 6 months, we do. Basically, we'll do anything that will encourage people to play, and we won't turn anybody down if we can help them at all.
Do you put a lot of emphasis on the maintenance of pipes, weed making and that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, we do, but lately we've put a more focus on it, and in Henrietta Street on a Tuesday night, we have reed making and maintenance classes. So people can go and get their lesson and then they can go for reed making classes. And I mean, that's something that we're conscious of, is not to have just a Dublin focus. It's now, you know, we've got to make sure we go around the country and indeed throughout the world. And, you know, we try and send people on reed making classes and tuition.
Because I suppose, I mean, you hear people talking, you know, the pipers who are touring the world and playing music in different places, and they sort of hold their hands up and they sort of talk about going from one side of the States to the other, and it wrecks the pipes, and it's so difficult to keep them in tune and that sort of thing. So possibly there are places around the world where Ilan pipes, where it's even more difficult to...
Yeah, this evening on the way back from London, I was getting on a flight and I met a guy coming from Japan, and he was complaining that the climate was tough on reeds over there. So, but as pipers are sharing their experiences and their knowledge, so that's becoming less of an issue, but it still is an important issue. So it's sharing of ideas and the expertise is helping a lot, you know.
Would you say that Napeebri Ilan welcomes every aspect of Ilan piping? I mean, are there sort of particular styles of Ilan piping that Napeebri Ilan would focus on?
I will think over the years there would have been, Napeebri Ilan probably would have been associated a lot with Willie Clancy and Seamus Dennis to greater or lesser extent. But my view on this is, and I think the people involved, is that it's music first and it's piping second, and if it's good piping and people like it, then and it uses the instrument to the best of it, you know, uses all the facets of the instrument, then, well, then it's worthwhile. But you know, I think it's particularly, I mean, I feel that pipers should play the pipes. You hear a lot of pipers now playing low tin whistles and low whistles and that kind of thing. And where it's all good and fine, I would really like to see people play the pipes, because I think it's a great instrument.
Did you ever tinker with any of those things yourself?
Not too much, no.
And it's very much, I mean, it's an interesting concept, you know, that sort of thing of keeping it at with the Ilan pipes, because you don't, for example, you don't have teach other instruments in that, in the Napeebri Ilan.
No, the Napeebri Ilan don't. No, it was set up by pipers for pipers, and there's so much innovation that can be done with the instruments, and we just encourage people to play the pipes, and it doesn't really matter what kind of style, whether it's open style or tight style, the classic sort of two distinct styles of piping. The main thing is pipe and using the instrument and using it to its fullest. That's really what we try to encourage, and there's loads more to be done. I think a lot of people get the idea that the pipes are brought as far as they can be. I believe that there's an awful lot more innovation that can be brought within the traditional idiom of the pipe, piping.
Could you give us any examples of that?
Well, I think some of the younger players, like, I mean, I marvel at so many of the younger players that are around now, particularly in the last 5-10 years. You know, they are bringing the instrument to new levels, and you know, I don't want to name names because, you know, there's so many of them, but there are some remarkable players, and they are doing new things and different things with the pipes. So I think there's a lot of room for development.
Is it all positive?
Very, very positive, yeah.
Which is nice to know. Talk to me a little bit about your own musical background, because to me the Ilan pipe seems to be one of these kind of instruments that, more so than any other instrument, tend to be kind of generational, that parents tend to hand down the interest to their children and that.
I think, one thing in Dublin is remarkable, and, you know, there are traditions of piping, in, funnily enough, in cities like in Belfast and Dublin, and now more recent times in Limerick and Galway, you see. In Dublin, there tend to be families like the Keenans and the McKennas and the Mulligans, and my own brother played the pipes, and where my interest in the music came about, my parents really liked the traditional music. My mother's from Carrickahold, County Clare, and my father's from Leitrim. And particularly my father had a great love of the pipes. He hardly arose them in that area, and he would have been the next door neighbour, say, the Tom Mulligan, Neely's father. So they shared an interest in piping, and my father was really taken with Leo Rosen's playing. So when he came to Dublin, he befriended Leo and sort of helped him out getting timber and making bellows boards, and that's the way everybody just helped out. If you're in the joinery business, you looked out and you got timber for the pipe makers and you made bellows boards, and that's kind of where we just went as kids to Thomas Street, and you couldn't but just be taken in by Leo. He was a gentleman, and the way he felt it was, if you showed any interest at all, he'd really encourage you. And very, very, all those people like Matt Kiernan, Dan O'Dowd, Leo Rosen, very, very generous people, Tommy Reck the same. So I was very lucky. I grew up and those people were just all, you know, at all the various sessions, and they took a great interest in any child that had an interest in pipes. So it was a great environment, you know. And so it just grew from there, you know, once it gets into your blood, that's it.
And what about, I mean, apart from the names that you mentioned there, the pipers that you would have been listening to and that you would regard as having influenced your style of piping particularly?
Funny enough, I didn't particularly go after one player or another. I really loved listening to the pipers. Tommy Reck, I loved his playing, and Seamus Ennis, although I was very much in awe of Seamus.
You would have known him, of course.
Leo was great, and Sean Seary. There was lots, so many pipers. Willie Clancy used to come to visit Leo and play maybe on a Saturday evening early, and you know, I'd sit outside the room and listen to them, and you know, Leo would invite you in, maybe get you to play a tune. It was that kind of environment. They were all great players, and I just really just tried to pursue my own style, and then as I got older, I started listening back, because I took it for granted. There weren't tape recorders around that much, or you didn't do that kind of thing. So you listened, and you took it in, and you didn't think too much about it. But it obviously did influence all of us that were around at that time. And it was only when I got older then, and a lot of those pipers were passed away, then you realised you know, great opportunity it was, and you began to reflect on what you had actually learned, you know. So you didn't think too much about it, you just played.
But it was just happening. And to take it on to the next generation then, the fact that both of your sons are playing the pipes and are so interested and so keen on it, and that obviously keeps your interest going as well.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely, in fact, it sweats my appetite for a pipe, because they certainly challenge me. Like, I came home this evening for an hour, and Sean, he's playing up in County Down tomorrow, and he was practicing his tunes, and you know, you're listening the way you're going about doing your business, and you hear him playing away, and you're envious, you know. So it does challenge you, and it does bring a new perspective. So that's one really positive spin-off with Conor and Sean playing, and also the other kids around their age in the club. Remarkable, they're all great, they're tremendous players, you know.
It's fantastic, and it certainly seems as if there's a very optimistic outlook for the pipes and for Na Pibre Uilleann as an organisation.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we've lots of projects. We're trying to develop the services we have, and very much bear in mind that we've a worldwide membership and service, though. So we've a very good website, pipers.ie, and you know, it provides all sorts of information there and references. Also, we have a lot of publications. Next year, we have a big publication of Seamus Ennis's music, songs and stories.
That's Pat Mitchell's.
Yes, Pat Mitchell and Jimmy Ryanmore.
We were talking to him about it earlier in the summer, yeah.
And we've recordings of Johnny Doran, a CD of his music, and we're hoping to do a recording of Sean McAloon and Andy Conroy and some younger players, and we've a number of journals coming out. So we've a whole list of projects that we're working on, and you know, really, I think teaching and maintenance and looking after the basics and trying to provide services to our members worldwide is really what we're about. And we're getting our building done up at the moment. We're getting a new roof in it. And we have a series, when that's finished in November, we hope to have a series of Saturday night recitals. You know, so there's plenty going on. And, you know, just trying to serve our members better all the time.
And we wish you the very best of luck with it, and wish yourself the best of luck in your term as Cathaoirleach. Like, how long does that last for? How long
Well, next April, actually the week of the 12th and 13th of April next year, we have our Chunol in the Bellbridge in Spanish Point in County Clare, commemorate 30 years since Will Canty died.
Mm-hmm.
And we've a great Friday night. We've a lot of young pipers playing, then we've a lot of talks by Peter Brown, Pat Mitchell, and classes with Jeff Wolf and Killian O'Brien, pipe making, and piping with Robbie Hannon and Connor McKeown, and there's a whole series of events on that weekend. So if we're doing a good enough job,
you'll be up for re-election. Listen, you're going to finish off. You've selected a piece from Seamus Ennis to finish off.
Yeah, I really love the recording, the Return from Fingal, and I just think the title track is a beautiful piece of music, and certainly piping is wonderful.
Seamus Ennis. That recording was made in June of 1948, and that's the Return from Fingal. Wonderful piece of music there from Seamus Ennis. And incidentally, next week marks the 20th anniversary of Seamus Ennis' death back in 1982, and as part of that commemoration, Bowman's Saturday on Radio 1 tomorrow morning will be paying tribute to Seamus Ennis.